Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to hear from the Association of the United States Army, find out about the Women Veterans Initiatives, and talk to the Command Sergeant Major of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
More than 70 years ago, in April of 1942, 64 Minnesota soldiers were subjected to unspeakable suffering during what is now known as the Bataan Death March. 75,000 Allied service members, imprisoned and weak by months of starvation and disease, were forced to undergo the five-day march. Japanese forces would kill those who were unable to continue, and thousands were mistreated and died. Of the 64 original Minnesota soldiers called up from the Brainerd and Park Rapids-based Company A, 194th Tank Battalion, only 32 survived to return home after the war. These heroic Minnesota Guardsmen endured some of the worst conditions imaginable during their captivity and showed the strength and resilience to survive. Today I pay tribute to all the men who endured the Bataan Death March. Their sacrifice paved the way for today's Minnesota National Guard.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Mike Wolbrink, who is the president of the AUSA, which is the Association of the United States Army, the General John Vesey Chapter here in Minnesota. Mike, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Very well, Tom. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Mike, I want to go back a little bit. Can you tell us about your military career? When did you serve and for how long?
I sure can, Tom. I graduated Wheaton College as a product of their ROTC program in 1988. It's my desire to go armor, but that year they were rebuilding the chemical corps, and I had an opportunity to be force branched into the NBC corps down in Fort McClellan, and then proceeded from there to Ranger School and then the 82nd Airborne Division.
And how did the 82nd Airborne treat you?
82nd was an outstanding unit, and it still is. And I was able to participate in Operation Just Cause, so I got some mustard stain on my jump wings, and then very shortly thereafter deployed to Saudi Arabia for Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm.
So how many years did you serve?
I served 6 years. After the 82nd, I was chosen by General Van Proyen to be his aide-de-camp, and we developed a lot of the different technology for the Star Wars program.
And what rank did you achieve in those 6 years?
I got out as a captain. I was slated to go on for a little bit farther, but had some family things that impacted my career and really needed to take care of my family.
Captain Wolbrink, sounds good.
That works for me, sir.
All right, Captain, tell me a little bit about what you're doing. I know you own a firm called Azul, and you help veterans.
Absolutely. Azul is about 5 years old, and we started Azul with the purpose of putting veterans to work in good companies. We've been running this in several different states now and had a tremendous impact on veterans. The big thing that we found is that veterans come in all sizes and shapes, and so we've really had to become very adaptable at how we work with them. We're finding that resume translation is still a big issue. Licensing is still an issue. We find that there are special forces medics that still can't come back and work in a emergency room because of licensing things. We find that truck drivers still cannot come back and get an immediate CDL. So there's a lot of training issues that we're overcoming. Azul has transformed over the time that we've been running it. And we had focused really on a lot of different areas. Primarily now we're into the IT, project management, and administrative services. And a lot of our focus towards veterans has been in the Azul Foundation. The Azul Foundation was founded about a year and a half ago, and its sole purpose is economic empowerment for veterans. We've never turned away a veteran, and we work very hard to help each one in different places. Some different examples of this are a lady that two of my people met out in Las Vegas several months ago. Her daughter was in Roanoke, Virginia. She was a bomb disposal person and got caught with an IED, by an IED, in Iraq. We will never have a contract with the city of Roanoke, but helping this veteran translate her resume so that the city understands she's a female, she's a veteran, she's got great IT skills, and they really do want to hire her. We just have to get the people on the same page in order to do that.
We're speaking with Mike Wolbrink, who's the president of the AUSA, Association of the United States Army, General John Vesey Chapter here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Mike, I know that you started Azul to help those veterans, and you're still helping veterans. And that example you just gave about if you go to war and you've got a well-trained medic that's out there taking care of our wounded soldiers, and they come back home and they want to get a nursing position or go into the medical profession, they can't do it. And you know, if they're good enough to take care of our wounded, they should be good enough to go to work in a hospital.
Absolutely.
So there are issues like that and transition issues that got to be just to make you feel really good to help our service members work those issues out.
It's absolutely a very good feeling when we are able to accomplish these things. A lot of these are licensing issues that can be solved, but they have to be done through the legislative process. There are a lot of other kind of change management things as people really understand the skills that veterans come back with and what they're able to actually do. And then there's a whole other misperception that veterans all want to be in security or something along those lines. And they just have, you know, it's an Army base is a big city. So they really have all the different skills that we have in a regular organization. And it's their desire to participate in all kinds of different places. We have an infantry guy that came back and we helped him start a flower shop. Just outstanding to see the different things that people want to do when they get back.
Now, Mike, the VESE chapter of the AUSA has a subchapter for veteran business owners.
Yes.
Where they get together and try to send business back and forth, refer business back and forth, figure out how to do veteran or contracts with the government, those type of issues. And I'm a member of that, and I've seen you over at those meetings. But how did you get to be the president of the AUSA? Who volunteered you for that?
I can thank Don Kerr for that. Several years ago, he selected me as a vice president, and we really worked hard on the Veteran Small Business chapter. That was a great way to involve new business leaders or veteran business leaders in AUSA. And it's ironic that, or very interesting, that 25% of veterans actually want to be entrepreneurs and want to start their own businesses. So the events that you mentioned that we've accomplished the last couple of years through AUSA, sponsorship by Craig Venerick at U.S. Bank, and some other organizations like Trust Vets have enabled us to train about 400 veteran entrepreneurs in various skills required to run their businesses.
And, of course, the AUSA here in Minnesota is named after four-star General Jack VESE, who unfortunately we lost last year, a real national treasure. But he was the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs under Ronald Reagan when he was a president. And he told us when he was in here a couple of years ago that when he was done with that, they asked him if he'd look into the missing in action and the killed in action, KIA-MIA, in Vietnam, because he served over in Vietnam. And he thought that was going to be a six-month tour of duty to go check on those. Ended up taking him 6 years.
And he did an outstanding job.
He chased down every lead he could, and he told us some great stories about that. You've got to be, that chapter here in Minnesota has to be named after one of the most honorable men. He served 46 years in the Army, started as an E-1, a private, and ended up being a four-star general, the head of the Joint Chiefs. What an incredible career and what an incredible man, and you've got to be just really happy to have him as your the namesake of your chapter.
We're incredibly proud to represent him and his legacy, and that's one thing we consider in all of the different items we do. We've got a very high standard to uphold, and when we do these different events, we think about not just the good that we're doing for the community, the good that we're doing for soldiers and veterans, but we really do consider that General VESE legacy and how he would wanted to have had those things done.
Now, Mike, we're just about out of time for this segment. When we come back, I want to talk about the mission and purpose of the AUSA, and I know you've got some events coming up this year, so we're going to talk about that. We're speaking with Mike Wilbrink, the president of the Association of the United States Army General Jack VESE chapter here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been talking to Mike Wilbrink, who's the president of the AUSA, Association of the United States Army, the General Jack VESE chapter here in Minnesota. And, Mike, we just touched on this. You've got a General VESE who's got to be the best namesake you can have. What a great guy. But can you share with our listeners what's the mission and purpose of the AUSA and who's eligible to be members?
Absolutely. The mission of AUSA is the voice of the Army on Capitol Hill, and it also offers support for soldiers and their families. And in the John VESE chapter of AUSA, we're still very focused on being the voice for the soldier on Capitol Hill and in legislative issues, where you communicate very frequently with the team out in Washington. But we're also very focused on doing good here in the community. We include things every year, such as the polytrauma hospital party that we do at the VA. And then we also distributed 2,100 or toys to 21 different children last year for the Toys for Military Kids program.
Mike Clark, we have him on every year. Toys, the number four, Military Kids, and he's on the plan for later this year.
That's outstanding. They're doing great work. And the polytrauma unit was outstanding. We were able to help 22 different individuals that are up in that unit last year and just made a huge difference as well. We also sponsor different teams. The General Vesey Chapter Women's Marathon team out at the Bataan Death March just took second place overall, all current National Guard members. And then there are a lot of other organizations that we assist along the way as well.
So who's eligible to join?
AUSA is open to all different branches and civilians, and so pretty much anybody listening can be a part of AUSA.
And why would they join?
Because AUSA is one of those organizations that's truly making a difference in the community.
On behalf of veterans?
On behalf of veterans, on behalf of soldiers, and on behalf of their families. We really see that as a holistic cause, and we're supporting on each in each area.
And despite what people might think from the name, Association of the United States Army, I was in the Air Force, and I'm a member.
Absolutely.
And I've seen a lot of the good things that you've done and shared a lot of good information about legislation going on in Congress.
Absolutely, yep.
And things that people should be up to date on if they care about veterans and their families and all those type of issues.
Right. And the national issues can really be tracked at the national website, AUSA.org. The local organization, VESEYChapter.org, is a great place to keep track of both local issues, legislation, and ongoing events in the veteran community. We meet the first Wednesday of every month at 12 o'clock at the American Legion Post 435 in Richfield. And there were about 40, 45 people that attend. And one of the bragging points I have about that meeting is that there isn't anything that happens in Minnesota veteran-wise that somebody in that room doesn't know about. It's not perfect English, but it covers the gamut.
Well, I've been to some of those meetings, so I understand, but it isn't perfect English, but it is very informative. Once again, for our listeners, go to VESEYChapter.org, and VESEY is V-E-S-S-E-Y, VESEYChapter.org, for more information on this and some information on some events. Mike, you've got three events coming up. I think the first one is June 14th, Army Birthday.
Absolutely, and we're very excited about this event. We have room for 400 different folks to come and join us. At this event, it's going to be the Army Birthday Party, and it's also the 100th anniversary of the Red Bull Division. So we're very excited about that. We have General Jensen that's going to be out speaking, and we'll have representatives from other elements as well. It's out at Ferber Farm in Cottage Grove.
And General Jensen is the Red Bull commander now. He was just installed recently, and he's a great speaker. And if you ever want to hear and learn about 100 years of Red Bulls, that would be a great thing to come to. We're talking with Mike Bulbrink, the president of the AUSA here on Minnesota Military Radio. Mike, what's the next event?
The next event is going to be our annual golf tournament. It's going to be held October 2nd at Hazleton, and we're very excited about that. We've done a golf tournament for quite a few different years in a row, and this one we're just stepping up, and it's actually the one-year anniversary from when the U.S. team won there last year. So we've got a great committee that's setting up all the different things around that, and we're very excited about that.
It'll be fun to go down there and play that event and see where the Ryder Cup took place.
Absolutely. It's going to be a lot of fun. We've got a lot of interest in that one already.
I'll bet the course is still in wonderful condition.
I'm sure it is. I'm looking forward to playing it a little bit later on this spring.
Now, your chapter, I understand, has a big anniversary coming up in October.
We do. We're very privileged to have the 60th anniversary of the VESEY chapter on the 30th of October. And we're nailing down some of the details, so mark your calendars and save the date. It's the 30th of October. It's going to be a hunting and shooting event. We're not quite sure if it's going to be sporting clays. We're looking at a couple of different venues. But then in the evening, we're going to have General Hamm, the person in charge of AUSA, come and join us, as well as Medal of Honor recipient Clint Rashima is going to be there to speak and address the group as well.
And General Hamm's from National for AUSA.
Absolutely. General Hamm is from National, and he was the one that also just completed a half mile or a half marathon down in New Mexico with the AUSA VESEY team.
And on the 60th anniversary, that would be a great opportunity for some people to learn more about General VESEY. I'll bet you'll have some information on that.
We do. We have a couple of requests into personal friends to see if they can come up and really pay tribute to this tremendous individual.
Now, Mike, Captain Wolverink, we've got about a minute left. There's listeners at 39 stations all over the state. Why would any one of them want to become a member of the VESE chapter of the AUSA? This is your chance. Spotlight's on you, Mike.
Very good. Thank you very much, Tom. We really appreciate it. The AUSA VESE chapter continues to make a difference in the lives of soldiers, in the lives of veterans, and in the lives of their family members. As we look at our overall mission, improving the conditions that that everybody has here, both from the legislative level out in Washington, we're active at the state level, very much participating in the legislature that that takes place with those various committees, as well as in our involvement with so many different veterans and soldier activities here in the state of Minnesota. We're really moving the ball forward. And people, when they find out about AUSA, really do want to be a part of it.
And more information at VESE chapter, V-E-S-S-E-Y, VESEchapter.org. Mike, thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me.
That was Mike Wolverink, president of the AUSA, the Association of the United States Army, General Jack Vesey.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons.
Minnesota Military Radio.
In this segment, we're going to find out about women,
we're going to learn
veterans
all about the Minnesota
First, it's time
women
for the Commissioner's
Veterans
Corner.
Initiative. A weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleto.
153 years ago, ordinary men from Minnesota made an extraordinary sacrifice. At the start of the Civil War, Minnesota was the first state to offer volunteers for the Union Army. Only 3 years after achieving statehood, over 24,000 Minnesotans answered the call to service April 12, 1861. These brave Minnesotans oftentimes found themselves on the front lines or the last to leave the battlefield. Minnesotans played a pivotal role, and their service will never be forgotten. The Civil War changed Minnesota in many ways. After the war was over, many soldiers from other states were drawn here because of the Minnesotans they had met and the stories they had heard. The Civil War deeply shaped the state of Minnesota, and the 1st Minnesota Volunteer Infantry Regiment holds a special place in the history of our state.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleto. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. The Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative is a group of women veterans and supportive civilians who work to improve the lives and well-being of all women veterans through 1, advocacy at the state and federal level, 2, innovative outreach programs designed to reduce barriers to accessing services, support, and participation, and 3, holistic health and wellness programs that address the unique needs of female veterans. And joining me now from the Women's Veterans Initiative is Angie Butika. Angie, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Angie, I understand you were in the Army.
Yes, sir. I was in the Army from 1992 to 1998. I actually started in the Army Reserves and then went active.
And how long have you been involved with the Women Veterans Initiative?
I've been involved since 2014.
And how many members do you have?
I'd say around 376 people.
Right here in Minnesota?
All in Minnesota. There's actually around 30,000 women veterans in Minnesota. That was the last estimate in 2014. So we would like to reach as many women veterans here as possible.
And could you expand a little bit? What's the mission of the Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative?
Like you said, Tom, the Women Veterans Initiative wants to improve the well-being and lives of Minnesota women veterans by networking, advocacy, outreach, and wellness.
And could you expand a little bit of that? Advocacy, what does that mean for you?
Well, we advocate for women veterans. One example is from 2010 to 2014, we tried to get the women veteran license plate done. We wanted to highlight women veterans or show that we are women veterans, because a lot of times we go into like the freebie on Veterans Day at Applebee's, and they'd ask the gentleman, are you a veteran? Are you the veteran? And a lot of us would be the veteran. So anyways, we pushed for legislation and got the women veteran license plate done. And I also was the designer of it.
And we had one of the, I think it was the first or second license plate. The lady that did that was in World War II, and she flew airplanes, and Liz Strofus.
That's right. We lost her
last year. What a delightful lady.
Yes, sir. She was actually the first Woman Veteran of the Year awardee in 2009 when we started it. So, yeah, she's been a WVI member for a long time, well, since its beginning in 2008.
She was absolutely delightful to talk to on the radio, and we will miss her. The second part of your mission is outreach and networking, and it says here that sometimes if you're going to the Minneapolis or St. Cloud VA hospital, you might want one of your battle buddies to go with you.
Exactly. We have a program called Sister of Sister, where if somebody wants to navigate the VA system in Minneapolis, they can contact us and we'll provide a female veteran to escort them. Because a lot of times you feel alone, you know, as a woman veteran, and a lot of people don't recognize you as one.
Is that a scary place for women to go, the Minneapolis or St. Cloud VA Medical Center?
Generally for women veterans who have experienced military sexual trauma and have PTSD, they don't like to be around a lot of people and a lot of men.
So if you take a friend with you, it's a little easier experience.
Right.
All right. And then wellness, that's just got to be follow-up on all the kind of support that your fellow women veterans might need.
Actually, a previous board member, her name is Michelle Schramm. She owns and operates Optimal Wellness Center, and she does the wellness treatments at our annual Women Veterans Conference. It used to be called Salute to Women Veterans, but we'll discuss later what the Women Veterans Conference means. And they do a lot of samples of holistic treatments, yoga, massage, acupuncture, and the like.
We're speaking with Angie Batika from the Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Angie, you brought a special guest with you today, and I understand that she was the Woman of the Year last year. Would you like to introduce her?
Yes, retired Colonel Penny Derrick is here with us today. She received the award last year for exemplary and extraordinary contributions in the military and in her community.
Colonel, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hello, Mr. Tom. Thanks for having me.
I'm impressed. Angie sprouted that right out. She wasn't reading anything. Apparently, you did an incredible job as part of the 148th Fighter Wing up in Duluth.
It was a fun career. 35 years from April 12th, 1980 to April 12th, 2015. So I loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it.
Were you aware of an award that the Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative was giving out? And do you know who nominated you?
I was aware of the award. I saw the documentation from the previous year, and the gal that worked with me, her name is Mass Sergeant Kim Schaefbauer, so thank you, Kim, was the one who nominated me.
And when did you find out that you were going to be the 2016 Woman of the Year?
I think in May of 2016, and I got the award on June 28th, 2016.
So, Angie, is there some kind of a big event where you give out this award each year?
Yes, like I mentioned before, there's an annual Women Veterans Conference. Women Veterans Initiative used to put it on, but now the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs does it. And we just host the wellness treatments, and also we present the Women Veteran of the Year Award at this event. And this year it's on May 25th. 2017 at the Ramada Inn in Plymouth, and it's a Thursday.
Yeah, and who's welcome to come?
All women veterans of Minnesota. So if you want to register, you can find it on our Facebook page, Women Veterans Initiative, or you can go to the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs and find it on there.
So if a guy wants to come to this and see who the Woman of the Year is, are they welcome?
I'm sorry, sir, but not at this time. Not at this day and age.
Oh, boy. In my era, men went to war in Vietnam. But today, I understand in the Minnesota National Guard that 26 or 27% of the soldiers and airmen are women. Things have changed, Colonel.
Things have greatly changed, and we are there to lead and help the men get the job done because we are great multitaskers, which the military needs.
Yes, ma'am. I'm sitting at attention now. Angie, how many people were nominated last year before you selected the colonel?
I actually don't know because I wasn't on the board last year.
But you usually get a few dozen or?
Oh, yeah, probably 20, 30 nominations.
And you're looking for nominations now?
Oh, yes, we are. And the deadline is April 30th.
April 30th, so you've got the rest of the month to nominate your favorite female veteran to receive the Minnesota Women Veteran Initiative Woman of the Year Award, and you just have to go look up Women Veterans Initiative Minnesota, and you'll find that website. I looked at it this morning. There's all kinds of good information there, and that is the place to do the nomination, correct?
Right. You can type an award in the search box, and then you'll see that as the first thing that pops up. And then you go to read more, and then you'll find the form.
And on that page, there's a nice picture of the colonel getting her award, all in her uniform and everything, and it looks great. So if you go to Women Veterans Initiative, you'll find all of that information. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the 2017 Woman Veteran of the Year Award. This is Minnesota Military Radio.
Welcome please back
to
us.
Minnesota
we'll
Military
right
Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Angie Batika and Colonel Penny Derrick about the Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative. And, Angie, I want to talk one more time. The mission of this organization, Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative, tell me what it is.
The Women Veterans Initiative works to improve the lives and well-being of women veterans throughout the state of Minnesota through networking, advocacy, outreach, and wellness.
And each year you pick or choose from nominations a Women Veteran of the Year.
Yes, we do. Since 2009, we've been doing the Women Veteran of the Year Award. There was a few years in there where Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs actually took over, but we have it back now. And, we're going to be presenting it May 25th, 2017.
And your couple of your annual winners go from our good friend Liz Strofus, who passed last year and did an amazing job in World War II, to last year's Woman Veteran of the Year, Colonel Penny Derrick. Colonel, you're with us today. Did that change your life in any way?
It did. I got to go to a Minnesota Lynx game and be presented with a signed basketball from all the players at halftime. And it was amazing when, after that happened, the little children that would come up to you say, can I take your picture with the basketball? And just and it made me realize that after 35 years of service, I did do good work and I was appreciated for what I did, that at some point in time you don't really think about that until it's over and done with. And so it was a very moving moment for me and my family.
And what a great way to do it. The Minnesota Lynx has been on quite a run the last few years, haven't they?
Yeehaw.
At least we've got one sports team in Minnesota that's doing well. Angie, I want to come back to you. You're looking for nominees for the 2017 Women Veteran of the Year. How do we go about doing that?
Yes, Tom. We want as many nominees as possible. The deadline is April 30th. The way you can get the form to download and either email to us or send in the mail is you can go to our Facebook page, Women Veterans Initiative. Pinned at the top will be the forms. Also, you can go to our website, womenveteransinitiative.com/award/.
Very good. And if you're, and your event is going to be when and where?
Our event is going to be at the Ramada Inn in Plymouth, and it's May 25th, 2017. It's a Thursday. I think it starts at 8 a.m. and goes to 5. It's actually put on by the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs Women Veterans Conference.
And if you want to register to go to that event, as long as you're a woman veteran, guys, you can't go to this one, too bad, go to minnesotaveteran.org/womenveterans. And I suppose we deserve that one. We can't go to your event, right?
Well, at least for now, Tom. I mean, what can I say? It's not my call.
I'm so sad I can't go to this one, but Colonel, that must have been a fun event for you last year.
It was very fun, and it was held at Metro State University, so it was a beautiful complex, lots of people in the audience, and an opportunity, and I did get to bring my husband with, and he got to see me receive the award, so very nicely done.
Colonel, I would imagine there's some deserving women that are up at part of the 148th Fighter Wing that you might get around to nominating.
Yes, the 148th Fighter Wing, currently 15% are females, and so there's one or two in there that I'm going to submit forward. I'm not going to tell them until after it's done, though.
Well, Colonel, congratulations on receiving this award last year, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, sir.
And Angie, any final thoughts for our listeners?
Not really, Tom. I think we covered all the bases. We look forward to as many submissions as possible. The quickest way would be to email us at womenveteransinitiative@gmail.com.
And if they want to learn more, they can go to your Facebook page.
Yes, most of our information is on our Facebook page, updated anyways. So, yeah, you'll find the award form there.
And Facebook is Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative?
Nope, just Women Veterans Initiative.
And they'll get there and see all the good stuff.
That's right.
And I hope they see a picture of the Colonel when she won her award last year.
I think she's in there somewhere.
We'll have to pin that one to the top too, right?
Right.
Ladies, appreciate you joining me today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
That was Angie Batika and Colonel Penny Dirk from the Minnesota Women's Initiative on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to the show. Good to see you in the studio today.
Great to see you again, Tom, and it's always great to be in the studio.
Sergeant Major, I keep spying on you via Facebook because you've been traveling a lot again lately, but it looks like you've been traveling here in Minnesota and you've been out talking to a lot of different units.
Yeah, I sure have, and you know, the listening audience can follow me too on Facebook at CSM Wortham if you do that search in the Facebook. But yeah, I've been getting out. I have to do another round of unit visits. When I first came into the position, one of the things that you and I talked about early on was, you know, how do we deliver the message about the priorities of the Minnesota National Guard, the initiatives, and the things that I wanted to accomplish over my tenure. And so I did that, and now, after two and a half years in position, it's time to get back out and just make sure that we're on track, that I'm hitting all of the right points, that the messages that are important to the leadership within the Minnesota National Guard are being delivered down to the soldier and airman level at the lowest level possible. So I've changed my format now. I go out and I do what's called a town hall, and rather than me driving the conversation for about an hour, I do my little stump for just a couple of minutes, and then I let the soldiers and airmen in the audience drive the conversation about the things that they're seeing now that are important to them, important to our organization, and then take that opportunity to answer those questions and squelch rumors and so on and so forth that they may be hearing.
Now, Sergeant Major, are they willing to open up and tell you the things they're thinking, or do you have to give them an order and say, I want to know what you're thinking, so have at it?
Well, given the direct order like that really doesn't work too well, but, you know, I just explain the importance of why they should and can talk to me directly about the things that they're hearing or the issues that they might be facing within the organization. And quite honestly, the main reason is the fact that, as you know, I work directly for the Adjutant General. And when there are things going on within the organization that we need that level of influence from, I get to walk right into that office and provide that information to him. So when our soldiers and airmen understand that I have that direct link and that it's important for them to share with me the things that they need help with at that senior level, then they start to open up and talk about things.
Well, it's good to get that firsthand so that you can see what they're really talking about. And I'm glad to hear there's not much hesitation, even though I might hesitate if I was talking to the command sergeant major and wanted to tell him about some little beef that I might have.
Well, you know, that's one of the things, you know, once you get to know me, you find out that I'm generally pretty easygoing, and I always want to have that approachability atmosphere for my soldiers and airmen. They know they can come up and talk to me about anything, and I just want to be personable, because that's really what it's all about at this position, is to give people or let them feel as though they truly are important, which they are, and then, again, be in such a manner where they can come up and talk to me about these issues, because then they'll know that we'll take care of them, too.
Sergeant Major, I understand you've got the Minnesota Best Warrior competition coming up.
Yeah, we sure do. Our competition is in full stream right now, and we'll be taking 13 competitors, and of those 13, we will get down to the top two within the Minnesota National Guard. This is the Army now, and prepare them for competition coming up next month down in Iowa. And then hopefully the winners we send from Minnesota will win in Iowa and then come back to Camp Ripley in July, where they'll compete at the national level, which, as we talked about a few months ago, the Minnesota National Guard is hosting that.
So that comes up in July?
It sure does. The national competition, yes.
Sergeant Major, I know you've been involved in, there's been some new things going on in recruiting lately, and Recruiting Command, we had them on the show from Cragen's a little while ago, and it sounds like they've done just a bang-up job finding plenty of new soldiers to join the Minnesota National Guard.
Yeah, they sure have. And, you know, they started this initiative called In Their Own Words, and that's how I'd like to close out today, is let you hear from Private First Class Gage Miller in his own words. He's from St. Joseph, Minnesota, and once he completes his AIT, 11 Bravo School, Infantryman School, he's going to be assigned to Charlie Company, Charlie Company, 2 of the 135.
I joined the Minnesota National Guard because I'm already pursuing a law enforcement degree. to serve my community, and I just wanted to take it to the next level and serve my state and my country.
Nice message, Sergeant Major. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks so much, Tom, and have a wonderful rest of the week.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. The Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs has a Women Veterans Program. To learn more, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org or call LinkVet at 1-888-546-5838. The 2017 Women Veterans Conference will be held May 25th at the Ramada Plymouth Hotel and Conference Center. To register, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org. We're just about out of time. I'd like to thank you for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Brigadier General John Jensen, Angie Batica, Retired Colonel Penny Dierick, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Shalito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we hear from Minnesota AMVETS and get the latest news on legislation affecting veterans. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.